If you dig into the archives of any streaming service, you're going to find loads of documentaries, tales of true crime, plucky dreamers, obsessive eccentrics, or just about any other subject you could name.
We figured this would be a good time to recommend a few of our favorites from the last few years, two movies and a TV miniseries we think you'll love. I'm Linda Holmes.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. On this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, we're recommending three great documentaries to stream, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Welcome to banking reimagined. Capital One checking and savings accounts have no fees or minimums and a top-rated banking app that lets you manage your money anytime, anywhere. Check on the account balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money on the go. This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back. You just met our own Linda Holmes. Hello, Linda.
Hi, buddy.
It's great to talk to you as always. Why don't you kick us off? Give us your first documentary recommendation.
Okay. Well, as I have said a couple times on Twitter, one of the few things that I really have had a hunger for during quarantine is Eat the Rich documentaries, or what I would define more precisely as powerful people getting maybe a little bit of comeuppance in some way. So this documentary is called Sour Grapes. It can be rented or bought on demand. It is from 2016. It's about a guy who started making counterfeit wine and took a lot of money from a lot of people.
Including one of the Koch brothers.
Yes, exactly. I want you to understand, fraud is wrong. I am not saying fraud is not wrong. It is not good to lie to make people give you money. There are all kinds of downstream effects on, you know, other people's reputations and all of that stuff. And in no way am I saying that I think this is okay. But it is, first of all, an interesting story about the very weird world of wine people, which is a little bit, you know, at some point during this film, you may find yourself thinking, a lot of these people never intend to open or drink this wine anyway. They just want the status of having it. So in a way, what difference does it make? Like, so that's A. And B is, if he can mix up some wine in his kitchen by combining a couple of different wines, if he can mix up a wine that fools people sometimes if they do happen to drink any of it, then again, what difference does it make? So, like, and like I said, fraud is wrong. Linda Holmes is anti-fraud. I am not suggesting that fraud is an acceptable thing to do, but it is a fascinating film about status, wealth, con artists. I love con artists. I love all kinds of documentaries about con artists, but also this whole idea of value and reputation and these weird closed circles of collectors. So it's really fascinating. Again, it's called Sour Grapes. It's available for rental through video on demand, and you will meet a lot of people in this movie, some of whom you will like and some of whom probably not so much. If you are going to have a con artist movie, it is probably a little less stressful to have one where the victims are more powerful, less vulnerable.
Exactly.
I'll just say that.
Well, it's interesting. I picked a documentary about fraud. It is a little bit even grayer in some ways than wine fraud. I picked the HBO docuseries McMillions, which aired on HBO. And I felt like this was the docuseries that people should have been obsessing over last spring instead of Tiger King, which everyone was obsessing over around the same time. And I think if McMillions had been on Netflix instead of HBO, that might have happened. McMillions is about the fact that basically through the entire 90s, for a span of like 10 or 12 years, the McDonald's Monopoly games basically had no legitimate million-dollar winners. There was just this really far-flung scam that was basically led back to a guy from an agency that McDonald's had hired to handle its security. And so you have this scam that is like part theft. Like, this guy arranges to steal all of the winning game pieces, but then he has to distribute them to winners that won't tip people off, that they're all kind of connected back to this guy. And so as this series unfolds, you are introduced, among other things, to a fascinating FBI investigator who loves talking to the camera more than you or I love anything in the world.
Love that guy. Love that guy. Some people hate that guy. I love that guy.
I felt like that guy was auditioning to be in a series of TV shows in which he solves crimes.
Agree. I would watch it. I love him.
I would watch it too. But you are just meeting more and more kind of characters in this story. Now, to me, I think once you get past the first few episodes that are kind of about the unfurling of this crime, and it becomes a little bit more of a mob story, I found that it got a little bit less entertaining as it went along. I don't really think mobsters are fun or funny, but it is this fascinating story. And of course, as it goes along, and one thing that I think McMillions does really well is it gives time and space to some of the innocent victims of this fraud. Not like people who bought a bunch of McDonald's products to get these game pieces, but like people who worked for this security company who wound up disgraced through no fault of their own. I thought that was really interesting. You also see how as this fraud kind of drones on and becomes greedier and more ambitious and more mob-based, the people who are participating in this fraud, many of the people who are like getting game pieces and cashing them in, they are committing a crime, but they are also being victimized in their own way. It's a really fascinating story, extremely well told, and I just loved it. And Linda, you were the one who told me about how fun this show is.
Yeah, I wrote about this show when it was originally out, and I think there are some interesting questions posed in this series about levels of complicity and levels of moral responsibility. I'm not sure I agree with the calls that the series made about those things, but I think they're very interesting to think about.
Yeah, so that's my recommendation. That's McMillions. You can find it streaming on HBO, and I highly recommend it. Linda, why don't you give us your other documentary recommendation?
The other one that I picked is a little bit more off the beaten path, and I don't say that as a pun, but it is about running. And it is a film called The Barkley Marathons, The Race That Eats Its Young. The Barkley Marathons, it is an ultra marathon race that's been run annually for a couple decades now. It is 100 miles. You have 60 hours to complete it. It is over mountains and streams. They change the route. And in many years, no one finishes because that's how hard it is. It's a 20-mile loop. So the 100-mile race is 5 loops. And if you make 3 loops, that's 60 miles, remember. That's what they call a fun run.
Right.
You've completed the fun run. And what I like about this one, first of all, it's an odd duck documentary, and I like an odd duck documentary. It's about both the people who run the race and also the guy who operates the race. Just unusual human beings, really seriously. It's the race is somewhat inspired by a prison escape, and the guy has been running it. He runs it in this very kind of analog, old school, you have to know somebody who gets you and, you know, invited to it and all this. It's almost like the way that I watched Free Solo, and part of my thinking was like, what makes a person want to do this? I feel somewhat the same way about people who want to attempt a 100-mile foot race. Not even like a running race, like a marathon is.
No, like a treacherous courses. A lot of it is uphill. A lot of it is through unforgiving terrain.
A lot of it is climbing and making your way through little wet, swampy, you know, you're racing to be first, but it's not a speed jogging thing for most of the way. I found it riveting, and I found my sympathies, my sort of how much I liked different people in it shifting a good amount, which is sometimes a sign of a good film. But what I really appreciated about it, and it's on Amazon Prime, you can also rent it, but it introduced me to a whole world full of people who I never would have had any interest in or knowledge about, and I appreciated that a lot.
Yeah, this thing for me just checks every box. It's your plucky dreamers. It's your weirdly low stakes and yet involves a lot of intensity of effort and emotion. It's, to me, like, the perfect documentary is like, you know, those restaurants where it's like, I finished the Belly Buster. And like, it's like yeah. a picture of like a guy in front of like a 200 ounce steak. And like, I would watch a movie about who eats the Belly Buster every single time. And this is the Belly Buster of weird, weird marathons. Oh my God. It checks every single box. Mm-hmm.
And there's lots more I can say about it, but I won't. You should just go watch it. Yep. It is on Prime or Rent or Tubi.
That is the Barkley Marathons, The Race That Eats Its Young, which you can find many places, including Amazon Prime. Well, we want to know what you think about documentaries you're watching. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Linda, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Stephen Thompson.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all tomorrow.
The news is about more than what just happened. You need to know why it happened, who made it happen, how it's felt in the communities you care about. NPR's daily news podcast, Consider This, gives you all of that with context, backstory, and analysis on a single topic every weekday. It's not just information, it's what the news means. Consider This from NPR.